pump in the centre of the village square. She was holding a gunmetal grey water jug in one hand and cradling a small boy against her shoulder with the other. She had gazed fearfully around, then bent over the pump handle and began pumping a thin stream of dubious-looking water into the jug. As Shepherd had watched her, he'd seen a puff of dust from the ground a few feet behind her. He'd started to shout a warning as the following whip-crack of the shot echoed around them. But it was too late. Startled, the woman had frozen for an instant, looking around, uncertain which way to run. The next moment, Shepherd saw a spray of blood and torn fibres erupt from her cloak as the sniper's second shot smashed through her chest and exited through her lower back. The child had spun from her grasp and turned a somersault in midair before crashing to the ground, a heartbeat after his mother had gone sprawling in the dirt. The paras had unleashed a storm of firing in the direction from which the shot had come, though more to keep the sniper's head down than with any thoughts of hitting him. At that range, without a clear target, it would have been a miracle if a round had struck him. Two men had sprinted across the square and dragged the woman and her child into cover. Howling its shock and hurt, the child was eventually claimed by an old woman who might have been his grandmother. But the woman was already past help, her eyes rolling up into her head as her lifeblood began to congeal around the wound that had killed her. It was a sickening end to a deployment in which they had achieved almost nothing, Shepherd felt, because whatever the paras had tried to do had had very little effect. Any airstrikes they called in had to be controlled by a forward air control officer, or the fast jets would not respond. But the system was so slow and cumbersome that, although the aircraft were overhead very quickly, by the time the airstrikes began to go in, the Serbs were already long gone. Despite their best efforts, they had never got on top of the sniper problem. They had placed men on every likely sniper location, and while they were there, nothing happened. But as soon as the paras withdrew, the sniper fire would start again. Shepherd was sure that there was more than one sniper, and that the answer was to put fewer paras out so that they were less easy to detect. Now it was over, but still he could not stop mentally wrestling with the problem. His thoughts were interrupted by the stentorian voice of his sergeant shouting, "Corporal Shepherd to report to the adjutant at the double." Shepherd groaned and jogged over to the battalion headquarters, where he found the adjutant incandescent with rage. "The bloody SAS are sending a patrol into the area that the patrol company has only just vacated," said the adjutant in an aggrieved tone. He was in his late 30s, with dark patches under his eyes that suggested he hadn't been sleeping well. "It's one of our designated areas, and to add insult to bloody injury, they've actually had the brass neck to ask us to provide someone who knows the area and the people to go with them. And the worst of it is that since all the top brass from the Prime Minister downwards think the SAS are the best things in sliced bread, we have to bloody well do it." He felt silent, still with a face like thunder. "Sir?" Shepherd said, having waited in vain for the adjutant to explain what he wanted from him. "So, you'd better get your kit together, Corporal," he said, as if surprised that Shepherd was still standing there. "Because you're the one who will be going with them. And the best of British, that's all I can say." Shepherd always left his kit ready for an almost instant response to any alert, and it took him only a couple of minutes to pack the last few things into his Bergen. He was then taken by Land Rover to a country hotel several miles away. It was outside the paras' previous areas of operations, and he looked around him with interest. After the devastation he had become used to seeing, the glimpse of a rural Bosnia that seemed almost untouched by the war was as welcome as it was surprising. Only as they were driving up the long lane that led to the hotel buildings did Shepherd realise that it had been commandeered as a military base. Enormous aerials were dotted around, and several vehicles, some shrouded under camouflage netting, were parked under the trees. Most surprising was that the soldiers he could see strolling around were all wearing a mixture of civvy and military clothes.